Good morning. How are y'all doing today? Doing good? Okay. Well, we are excited to have you here. My name is Ben, and I get the honor of giving the sermon today. So thank you so much for braving the elements and joining us this wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning. And today we're starting our new series called Values. Now, here at Every Nation Tallahassee, we have five core values. And these values dictate every single thing that we do here at the church, okay? And so today we're going to go over the first one. And the first one is the value of lordship. So let us pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for all these beautiful, wonderful people that we get to do church with. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that we get to learn about you. We get to submit our hearts to you. We get to just be impacted by how amazing and wonderful you are. I pray that you would use me this morning to deliver your message in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about lordship, and if you are a college male that I've taken through the one-to-one, you have probably heard a lot of these analogies. So just bear with me, but guess what? None of us have applied them all the way, so this is going to be good for everybody, okay? So we're going to talk about lordship. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a precursor what we're going to talk about today. So these are the four things in lordship we're going to talk about today. So we can get the next slide, please. So number one, lordship is Jesus' identity. We're going to go into that. People think lordship is something we do. It's really not. Lordship is who Jesus is. He is not just our Savior. He is our Lord. And most people miss Jesus because they try to treat Jesus. They have their own version of Jesus, and they miss the real biblical Jesus. And so their expectations don't get met, and Jesus cannot really speak and change your life because you're not treating him for who he really is. That's our first point we're going to talk about. Number two is that lordship is obedience. All right, everyone should be convicted on this point. We're going to go through. Number three, lordship is ultimately a matter of the heart. This is wonderful. This is where we find out that really lordship is super relational. This is my favorite part about lordship. And then number four, lordship is the greatest path. It is the ultimate way to live your life. Most of my life, the devil lied to me, messed with me, because I grew up in church, and I thought lordship, Jesus being my Lord, was all about control, making me do things that made me uncomfortable, right? Maybe he'd have me, you know, marry someone I didn't want to marry or be lonely or not be the cool kid at school, right? And, well, I mean, I was homeschooled, so anyway, I was the cool kid. Easy money. But, you know, not the cool kid with my friends. And anyway, but I realized that lordship is the greatest path, and I love lordship. So let's dive right in. The first point is this. Lordship is Jesus' identity. Lordship is Jesus' identity. The reason that our first core value here is lordship is because that is who Jesus is. And if you miss lordship, you're going to miss Jesus. If you miss lordship, you will miss Jesus. Acts 2:36 says, "Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Now, this is Peter speaking. Now, Peter had just gone from cowardly Peter, who had denied Jesus three times to a little girl, who was so embarrassed of his faith that he couldn't even tell a little girl about it. And then a couple chapters later, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He gets up, he preaches a sermon in front of thousands of people. And this is the pinnacle, the hook, the last part of his sermon. He says, "This Jesus who you just put to death, you just voted, you just said he should be crucified, you just killed him. He is two things. One, he's Messiah, you know that. He's the Savior. The Jews knew what that meant. He was the one that Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets had prophesied and foretold about, the one that was coming to deliver the people, to be the good shepherd, right? That would sacrifice himself for the people. That's what Messiah meant. They knew that. But he's to use another term, Lord. Now, during that time, this area of Judea was dominated by the Roman Empire. And they put puppet kings. Herod was a puppet king, and Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor. And they were under the boot of Rome. And there was only one person in their whole universe that had the title of Lord, and that was Lord Caesar. Right? That's the very reason that Joseph and Mary took or went back to Bethlehem to do a census. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because Lord Caesar, Augustus Caesar, told you, you have to go back to the place where you're from to give an account, to take a census. So in this world, Peter was saying, guess what? You have a new Caesar, and that Caesar is Jesus. Now, the Jews would have been dumbstruck by this statement, because they had grown up in a world where when you disobeyed Caesar, you were put to death. But Peter said, the person that you just put to death was your Caesar, is your Caesar. Meaning an old Caesar would use their authority to dominate you, but this new Caesar, when you disobeyed him, he came and died in your place. So Jesus is unlike any other authority you've ever experienced. This was mind-blowing. Do you know in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Savior 24 times. Did you know he's referred to as Lord 622 times? Not only Jesus himself, but all of his disciples, all the writers of the New Testament, they described Jesus, not sweet Jesus, meek and mild, but Jesus, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the one who has all authority on heaven and on earth. Jesus is Lord. That is his identity. Now, most of you guys know this, but I played a little bit of football in my life. I played rugby for about 8 years, then I played football for about 6 years. I got to play football in college, and I was pretty much a contact sport guy. I played rugby and I played football. But when I was about 14, I was a little husky, let's just say, maybe just a little chunky, okay? I hadn't hit my growth spurt yet, okay? I was, you know, fighting off childhood obesity, and, you know, it was, you know, I just loved to eat, I loved to cook, and, you know, it was a bad stage. Has anybody ever gone through a bad stage? You know, just a tough season, 14 years old, it was tough. And my sweet mother, like, I love you, Mom, my sweet mother decided that I need to get in shape, right? And so she said, I'm going to sign you up for tennis lessons. Has anyone ever taken tennis lessons in here? Okay, tennis, it's a great sport. It's a very difficult sport. It's a lot of, right? And so that's pretty much all it is, actually. And when you're 14, right, that's, you don't want to go, you want to go, you know, So anyway, So anyway, I'm 14 years old, a little chunky. I'm going to tennis lessons. I've got my basketball shorts on. You know, it was, you know, early 2000s, so all my shorts are below my knees. And I'm out there just kind of waddling around trying to play tennis. And I think I took two, maybe three tennis lessons. That's it. But that was, it's such a small part of my life, right? I'm a football player. I'm not a tennis player. If somebody comes to me and tries to relate to me as a tennis player and not a football player, we're not going to have a good relationship. Because you don't know me. I don't give a rip about tennis. But I do like football. And I can actually tell you a lot about football because I played at a pretty high level. So when we treat Jesus like a tennis player, when he's a football player, both relationships are not going to be good. He's not going to give you what you really need, and you're never going to truly understand him. When we go to Jesus as a Savior, oh, I love you, I need forgiveness, I've messed up, I'm just a person, I'm not a perfect person, right? I'm not perfect, just forgiven, right? And we just go as a Savior. We'll get a little bit of Jesus, that's part of who he is. but we'll miss who he really is. He's the Lord. And then we wonder, why do I have this dysfunctional relationship with Jesus? It's like we're on two different pages. I have a plan for my life, and I'm trying to add Jesus in. Like, I'm in church, I'm doing these good things. But he's got a plan for me over here, but why can't he just love me and bless me on my plan? And you have this tension with Jesus. And then your devotions are weird because you're reading the Bible like you're reading a tennis manual, and Jesus, like, let's play football. Come on. I created you to play football, and I'm a great football coach. Stop trying to make me a tennis coach or a tennis player. So if your devotional life is relating to Jesus as a tennis player, you're not going to get a very good devotional. Right here, when you sing, we know how we sing in the beginning, praise and worship. If you do it because, oh, you know, I'm just going to sing because everyone's doing it. It's kind of cool. Rather, no, Jesus is Lord. He's my new emperor. I'm going to sing and worship because that's what he commands me to do. Oh, it unlocks worship. It unlocks it. When you read your Bible and say, you're the Lord of the universe, this, what I'm reading is not about me, it's about you. I want to learn about you. What do you want me to do today? It's, oh, my whole life is dedicated to you. Devotions just come alive. It's amazing. And you start to relate to the real Jesus. Because lordship is Jesus's identity. It's not something he does. It's not just something he says about himself. It's who he is. And he cannot change. Jesus is Lord. And if you want any other Jesus, you're not going to get the real Jesus. Because Jesus is Lord and Jesus does not change. So you have to change. If we treat Jesus just as Savior and not as Lord, we can't really know him, and he can't really help us. Because you know what you really need? You do need a Savior. But you know what you really need? You know what I really need in my wicked heart? I need a Lord. I need a boss. I need someone to tell me what to do when I don't want to do it. Because when I do what I want to do, when you do what you want to do, it's not pretty. It's not good, right? But when Jesus tells you what to do and you obey him, life can be sweet. Life can be great. Life can be really sweet. All right, number two. Lordship demands obedience. Lordship is obedience. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? This was not the apostles writing about Jesus. This was not hundreds of years after Jesus' life. This is a quote from Jesus saying, not only you should call me Lord, I am the Lord, and you should obey me. Jesus claimed to be Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you go to church, but don't obey Jesus in every area of your life? Why do you go to prayer meeting and sin on Friday night, Saturday night? Come on now. Uh-oh. Something's happening. Oh my gosh. I might preach for the first time in my life. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I love this quote from the one-to-one. It says, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of every second, of every day, of every breath, of every penny, of every thought, of every intention, then he's not Lord at all. Because lordship is his identity and obedience is what he wants from you and me. I could never tell my wife Ashley, hey baby, I want to be your husband 364 days a year, but one day I need to just be solo dolo, just by myself. She would say, no, get out of here. You're either my husband or you're not. Jesus is either Lord of your life or he's not at all. Do you wonder why there's sin and compromise in your life? It's because most of us, this was me for so long, we negotiate with God. Jesus, I will give you this sin because this sin stinks and it hurts and it embarrasses me. And all my other Christian friends have given this to you. But this hidden sin, I need to keep for myself because that's what my family does and that's how I was raised. And I just need to keep this one for myself. And Jesus says, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And this is not just about external behavior. One of the hardest things I've had to give to the Lordship of Jesus is my emotions. Is saying, I want to sit in bed and not talk to anybody, but instead I have to go to campus and meet strangers and tell them about Jesus. And you are Lord of my emotions, so I will do that with a smile on my face and a good attitude, right? I signed up to serve in this area of church, so guess what? Even if I don't want to, I am under the Lordship of Jesus, and you said make your yes be yes and your no be no, so I'm going to do it. I don't want to tithe, but guess what? You are the Lord of my finances, so I will tithe because you are Lord and I am not. I will be a good husband today, not because I want to, because you are Lord, and you told me to be a good husband. Jesus is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. How can we be in the kingdom of God and not fully submit to the king? Come on. He's the king. Thank you. Whoever's, I love you. Thank you. Keep going. He's the king. If we are in the kingdom of God, we must submit to the king. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, their electric chair, their firing squad, their gallows, and follow me because I am the king and you're not the king. And if you want to be my disciple, there's one king and his name is Jesus and that's his identity and he demands obedience. Jesus is the king and he cannot change. Jesus is king. And when we figure this out, life gets peachy. When you let Jesus be king and you just be a follower, a disciple, life is great. Okay, so you should be right now a little bit stressed out. You should be thinking, okay, Ben, it sounds great, but I know myself. I've been with myself a long time. Even if I wanted to make Jesus Lord of every area of my life, I realistically can't. I can't by myself have every thought submitted to Jesus, every intention, every attitude, everything I do. Even on my best day, Lord, you know my heart is still wicked. I'm still really selfish. So you should be thinking that. In human flesh, with our own natural willpower and ability, it is impossible to live a perfect life under the Lordship of Jesus. So now we get to transition to the really, really sweet part of Lordship, the really good part of Lordship. Lordship is a matter of the heart. That's point number three. Lordship is a matter of the heart. Matthew 7:21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Very interesting. Jesus says, not everyone who just obeys the Ten Commandments or tries really hard or does this or does that. He says, you must do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, I always ask my guys that I go through the one-to-one with. I say, how can we know the will of God? And there's really two ways. The first way is through the Word of God. And the second way is through His Holy Spirit. He speaks to you and leads you and guides you. I tell all of our single guys, listen, you can open up your Bible and it will tell you what type of woman to marry, what type of husband you should be, what type of father you should be. But you can look at the maps, every page, the appendixes, and it will not tell you the name of who you're supposed to marry. So we need biblical principles from God's word, but we also have to have revelation from God himself to lead us and guide us in the will he has for our lives, right? You need to know what city you're supposed to live in after you graduate. You need to know what job you're supposed to have, right? You need to know how to handle a situation when somebody is gossiping about somebody in this church and you need to just walk away. You need the will of God in your life. So Jesus, he says, yes, I'm Lord. Yes, I demand 100% obedience. But the way that you get it is that you know the will of God in heaven. And you cannot know God's will without a relationship with him. We could all sit in a corner and just do nothing and technically not sin. But that's not doing the will of God, is it? To do the will of God, you have to bring things to God and say, hey, here's my emotions today, Lord, what should I do? Hey, here's the situation, what should I do? Hey, this is how I feel, what should I do? Hey, I'm going to give you the first part of my day and read my Bible and pray. Lord, I need you. Lord, my identity, I feel ashamed or guilty or I feel trapped, but guess what? You say I'm a conqueror, so I'm going to bring that to you and I'm going to live like I'm actually a conqueror. I'm going to live my identity in who you are and what you say about me, not how I feel or my friends say that I am. My identity has been your lordship. But it's a matter of the heart. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, lawlessness is not just external. Lawlessness is in the heart. And so to be under lordship, your heart must be under lordship. That's everything that you do. Your heart must yearn to please God. And Jesus is saying, listen, you can do all the external stuff you want, but if you don't have a relationship with me, you'll never know my will, and your lawless heart will never be under lordship. Lordship is a matter of the heart. If we submit to Jesus as Lord in our heart, it will eventually manifest itself in outward obedience. If we submit our hearts to Jesus, our actions will take care of themselves. Here's another analogy I use in one-to-ones. Gino, I'm going to use you. I'm going to pick on you, okay? Gino, is there a food that you hate? That you cannot eat? You can't stand? Matt, you, what? Mashed potatoes? That's terrible. Okay, you know what? Let's just say mushrooms. Is that okay? Can we do mushrooms? Mashed potatoes. We'll use mine. Mine's mushrooms. Mushrooms. Okay. They're so slimy. Anyway, mushrooms. Okay. So let's say Gino hates mushrooms, hates them. Allergic, can't stand them, can't stand the smell, doesn't like to look at them. Hates every mushroom that's ever lived, okay? But I don't know that. So I say, Gino, I want to be your best friend, Gino. I want to impress you. My heart is pure. I want a relationship with you. And I invite Gino over to my house for dinner. But Gino doesn't know that I live on a mushroom farm. And I come from a long line of mushroom farmers. And all of my art and decorations are mushrooms. And I prepare this wonderful 5-course meal. We have mushroom salad and sauteed mushrooms and a mushroom souffle and mushrooms on pizza and mushrooms on this. And my heart is pure. I really want to please Gino. And then Gino comes over to my house and he's like, there's no way this guy lives on a mushroom farm. This is my nightmare. And he walks in, he sits down, but he sees my heart. What is he going to do? He's going to say, Ben, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I cannot eat any of this, and I can't even stay here because this is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. Okay? So this is what lordship looks like to Jesus. We start off with a heart change. Oh, Jesus, I want to please you. Jesus, I want to give you my best. Jesus, I'll cook the best, I'll do the best, whatever you want. And then the closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize that so much in our life is mushrooms. And he'll say, guess what? That gossiping conversation yesterday, that was mushrooms to me. The way you looked at porn last night, that was mushrooms to me, right? The way that you went to church but had a bad attitude the entire time, we're thinking about lunch the whole time, that was mushrooms to me, right? The way that you're two different people. I just talked to my staff this week about leadership is built on character. You have to be the same person all the time. When you are not the same person at church, with your other friends, at home, when you dip and dive and slip and slide and all that stuff, that's mushrooms to the Lord. So guess what? We know the big ones. Stealing, lying, killing, fornication, adultery. We know those ones. But when we have a relationship with Jesus, he tells us that's mushrooms. I don't care that your whole family is a mushroom farming family. Leave the farm. I got steak and eggs for you, baby. Come on. I got some ribeyes. Let's go. Give me some red meat. And sometimes this is the hard part of lordship is we say, but Jesus, you see my heart. Why do I have to give up? Can I at least keep one mushroom dish, please? Can I keep my little mushroom girlfriend? Please, Lord. My little mushroom boyfriend. He's a fun guy. Hey. I'm a father, so that's okay. But that's what we do to God. We say, God, but the truth is, if my heart was really, really wanted to be friends with Gino, I would leave all that behind and say, let's eat what you want to eat. I'll go where you want to go because my heart is devoted towards you. So if you see in your life mushrooms, if there's things in your life that you know are not submitted to lordship, the answer is not you just trying to chop off the heads of the mushrooms because they'll grow back. It's you got to leave the farm and you got to go follow Jesus. Come on, you got to go. Because if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And this is the hard part of Christianity, is God calls people out of whatever we're in, and he says, your heart must be pure, and your heart must follow me. Because lordship is his identity. He can't change. He can't change it. It's a hard thing. If your heart's right, everything else will take care of itself. That's why in the Bible it says, above all else, guard your heart. For from it sprouts all sorts of things, even mushrooms. So guard it. Okay, last one, number four. Lordship is the greatest path. Lordship is ideal. Lordship is wonderful. I'm going to patent this term. I want to call it like lordship insurance. It's lordship. Whenever you're under lordship, there's a heavenly insurance that guards your life, and no matter what happens, you're covered. Right. And there's no deductible. Right? When you're older, you'll get this. No copay. This is a big deal. Yeah, free 99. Thank you, Garrett. Lordship is the greatest path, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which means you should logically be stressed, but you're not, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's so funny. Well, not really funny, but this is my story, so it's funny to me. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about just my dating life a little bit, okay? So when I was in high school, right, doing tennis lessons, losing weight, first off, I really wanted attention from anyone who'd give it to me. Then when I went to college, there was, I wanted a certain type of girl that did not honor God because I thought looked fun. And then I wanted a religious girl who said she was Christian but didn't really live Christian because I didn't really live Christian. And so I wanted to go to church with her, but I didn't really want lordship in all areas of our lives. I really liked the mushrooms. And so that's what I wanted. And then when I got radically saved and my heart was transformed and I realized that Jesus must be Lord, I was really trying to leave Mushroom Farm and follow him with my whole heart. I need a Christian girl, right? And so I looked around my church, other churches, and I went on a couple dates with some girls. And, you know, they maybe checked a lot of boxes, and they loved Jesus, and, you know, that was great. But I remember I went on this date with this one girl, and when I was driving home, the Lord said, "Hey, Ben, when are you going to let me pick your wife? Because you picking your own wife is mushrooms to me. And if you pick your own wife, you should be terrified of divorce. You should be terrified of her cheating on you. You should really worry about finances. You should really worry about calling. Because if you're the Lord of your life in this area, then you don't have my lordship insurance. But if you let me pick your wife, you don't got to worry about any of that. Because I know you better than you know you. And I know what you need. And I know the type of woman you need. And the woman you marry is going to change every 5 years because that's how we do. We just change. And you're going to change. And you need a woman that's going to put up with you and think your jokes are funny all the time." And I remember at that moment, I said, "God, I'm not going to date anymore. I'm not dating." I said, "The next date I go on, I really want to be my wife." And I said, "God, not only that, I need my mama to have a word from God, too, because I'm so bad, but my mom always gets it right." And so anyway, a little bit later, years later, I met Ashley. I was instantly attracted to her. I was like, "Well, who wouldn't be? Oh, my gosh." And I met her at a church picnic. Hallelujah. The holiest place on earth. And that was the name of the bar. No, I'm just kidding. It was actually a church picnic. And the Holy Spirit said, "Ben, she's great, but she's not for you. Wait a year. Just wait 1 year, and I'll tell you who your wife is in 1 year." I said, "Okay." So I went about my life, still liked Ashley. We still connected a lot. We didn't, but we distanced. And I remember thinking, "Okay, Lord, like, I'm just trusting you." Then I moved to Tallahassee. You know, not a lot of you were here then. We had 5 students in the whole church. And so we were just grinding, making it happen, trying to get on campus, and you know, I was just trying my best. And I remember almost a year later, I was reading my Bible, and the Lord kept dropping on my heart. He said, "Ashley McDonald. Ashley McDonald." I said, "Lord, stop it. I'm trying to read my Bible. I have 30 minutes before I have to leave." You guys know that one? "I have 30 minutes. I have 30 minutes to read the Bible, Lord, please." "Ashley McDonald." I said, "No, Lord, nope. I love you. I love you. I obey you, but no." And he kept putting her name on my heart, and I started praying for her. And I remember the Lord almost dropped a love on my heart for Ashley. And we had like a little flirty thing going, but now I felt this love and care for her that I never felt for anyone in my life. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm just going to keep praying for her." And then the next day, Mama Dew calls me. And she said, "Ben, I've been praying for you in the area of marriage. And I'm not trying to control you. I'm not trying to influence you. I want you to just pray about this. But the Lord keeps putting Ashley McDonald on my heart." And I said, "Lord, that's a sign." I said, "That's it." And then when that happened, I had so much confidence. I asked her out. And it was a year to the day since the Lord told me to wait 1 year. And I waited. And Ashley has been... Make me cry. Ashley. Oof. She is the best wife I could have ever asked for. And I had a list of what I wanted in a wife, but she was so many more. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, "Lord, you knew I needed that. I didn't even know I needed that. You knew that's what I needed, my heart needed. You knew that's the type of woman I need. I didn't even know." And I could move so quickly. We were only dating for 4 months, and then we were engaged for 4 months, then we got married. It was 8 months, that's it, because I knew. Why? Because Jesus was Lord. He picked my wife. And I knew. I had insurance. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, listen, if anything goes wrong, I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you." Even moving to Tallahassee, I said, "Lord, I know the Millers and the Bennetts. That's it. If my life is miserable, if it's a failure, if this is just a huge mistake, that's on you, and I'm blaming you. But the answer is yes, because you're Lord of all. And yes, your identity. And you demand obedience. And it starts in my heart. And it's the greatest path. Come on. Lordship is the greatest path. And the devil will lie to you. The devil will say, Lordship's not the greatest path. You should compromise. Keep a little bit of the control. And this analogy doesn't work if you're an actual pilot. But for me, who doesn't fly a plane, if you drove me in a limo to Tallahassee Airport and got me a private jet and said, Ben, you're the pilot. You can drive wherever you want. You can fly wherever you want. That's not freedom. I'm enslaved to my lack of ability. I'm enslaved to my lack of who I am. But if you took that same limo and you drove me to that airport and you said, get on, here's some champagne, enjoy yourself, and we have the best pilot in the world is going to fly you to your destination. You don't have to worry about it. That's a flight I can get on and enjoy. You see, in life, when you're the Lord of your life, you're trying to drive, and I don't know who to marry. I don't know what job to take. I don't know what to study. I don't know, even know who I am. And Jesus says, let me be the Lord. Let me be the pilot. Grab your fur coat. Go sit in the back. Put your feet up. Enjoy the view. There'll be some bumps along the road. I may stop some places you don't know I'm going to stop. I may have some passengers come on that you don't really like. I may have you do some things that make you uncomfortable, but let me drive the plane because I am Lord and I know what's best for you. Life is stress-free when you're under lordship. You know, most of the stress in your life is when you're fighting the Lord on ownership, on authority in your life. You're trying to compromise. You're giving them a little bit. You're not giving them everything. This is my greatest challenge every day. If there's any anxiety or stress that pops up in my life, I immediately go back to this. Wait a second. Jesus, you're Lord. Help me submit to you. The answer is yes. Last story before we conclude. So I have three wonderful brothers-in-law. They're great. Ashley has two brothers, and then her sister has a husband, and it's great. Whenever I go over to the McDonald house for Christmas, it's just a blast. They all like to work out. They're all competitive. But some of them like to swim a lot. Some of them like to run a lot. Some of them like to do these crazy workouts. And I like to just go to the gym and kind of lift. It's kind of a stationary type thing. I don't love running. I'm not a big runner guy, okay? You know, there's still the 14-year-old that's trapped in my heart somewhere. But I told them, I said, there's a rule. Whenever I'm with all three of y'all, and any of you say, let's go do this workout, my answer has to be yes, no matter what. It has to be yes. You want to go swim? We're swimming. You want to go for a run? We're going for a run. You want to do a million push-ups? We're doing a million push-ups right now. The answer is yes. And it's hilarious. It's made it so much fun. It's made it so much fun. And you know what? They've never pushed me to throwing up, to getting hurt. Why? Because they actually care about me. And they want to have fun with me, right? They don't want to hurt me. So why can't our answer to Jesus be, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. What do you want me to do? The answer is yes. You want me to do this? Yes. I'm not even going to ask you. Yes, the answer is yes. When do you want me to do it? How long do you want me to do it? Who do you want me to do it with? But the answer is yes. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Him is Lord. He dies for you. When he's Caesar, he doesn't put you to death. He doesn't feed you to the lions. He doesn't light you on fire like Nero did, the other Roman emperors did. He dies for you. He died for us. He knows us. When you say yes to the Lord, he doesn't want to take you into bad things. He wants to take you into blessings, into prosperity, into good things. Many of us, we never receive our blessings and our identity and the relationship with God is because we don't say yes to him. We treat him as a savior and we negotiate the lordship part. Jesus is Lord, and that is his identity. He demands obedience. It all starts, it's all about the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And what's the last one? Here we go. I was doing so good. It's the greatest path. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Father, I thank you for just the opportunity to share about how good of a God you are, how good of a Lord you are, how you're just amazing that you use your authority not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to help us. And you love us more than we even love ourselves. And even when we were sinners, you died for us. And Jesus, we're so thankful for that. And I just want to pray for a couple people here today. There's a couple groups. The first group is those who've been really, really trying to be under lordship, but it's turned into more of a performance thing. It's not a heart thing. Maybe you compare yourself with other people in the church who they're under lordship, but I'm struggling to make my life look like theirs, but it doesn't. Or there's this area of sin that I'm trying to perform and get out of, or there's this thing I'm trying to discipline myself out of it. And instead of performing, I feel like the Lord would say, just make me the Lord of your life and your heart and pursue me in relationship, and I will naturally change you from the inside out. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. Lord, for all these people struggling with performance or that religious spirit of external duties, Lord, we just pray against that spirit in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you right now would just touch their heart and speak to their heart and say, hey, I want to be the Lord of your heart. I want a relationship with you. I want you to do things for me, not because you have to, but because you love me and you want me. And I want you and you trust me. So Lord, I just pray that you would give them the strength to walk under lordship as a relationship with you in the name of Jesus. The next group is that you know Jesus is your Savior, but you don't have him as your Lord. You've heard a million times that Jesus died for me and he loves me and he wants to forgive me, but maybe this is the first time where the ball's really dropped and you're like, wow, I need to make Jesus my Lord. And I haven't given him the full authority in my life, and I've received what he did for me on the cross, that he died for me. I love that, but I've never given him everything. Maybe I'm just a Christian who goes through the Christian motions, but I've never made him the king in my life. And if that's you, I just want to lead you in a prayer of repentance. Say, Jesus, please forgive me. I've tried to receive you as Savior, but not as Lord. Today, Lord, I just ask you to be the Lord of my heart, and I lay down the rest of my life and say, Lord, help me be obedient. Help me give everything to you. Help my answer be yes. Help me totally submit to you and teach me in my life, what is mushrooms? What is sin? What is keeping me from you? In Jesus' name, amen. There's one more group I'm going to pray for, and this is the group that would say, you know what? I don't really have Jesus as my Savior or as my Lord. I'm really just kind of new to this whole church thing. I know that God is real, or I hope he's real, and these people seem like they really believe Jesus is real, but I don't have a relationship with him. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Lord, for all those people in here that they don't have you as their Savior or their Lord, I pray that first you would just touch them right now, Father, with your Spirit, and that you would minister and just let them know that, hey, I'm real, and that you can't perform for me. There's nothing you can do. Before you were even born, I chose you to be my son or my daughter, and I've wanted you. I've wanted you. I want a relationship with you. So if that's you, I just want you to pray. Say, Jesus, I pray that you would be my Lord and my Savior. I receive what you did for me on the cross. I receive your forgiveness for my sin. Lord, I put my trust in you and what you did, not what I do. And because it's your identity, I receive you not just as my Savior, I receive you as my Lord. And I make a commitment to follow you all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Can we all